My name is Elliot Babylonia, and I'm interviewing Kevin Nessler through phone call on July 16th of 2022. Do you give me permission to record and make public this oral history?
Yes, I do.
Okay. A quick reminder that you don't have to answer any question that makes you uncomfortable, just whatever you're comfortable with and whatever you want to answer.
So, okay, thank you.
Of course. Now, I would like you to share as much basic information as you are willing to share.
Okay. My name is Kevin Dantzler. That's spelled D as in David, A-N, T as in Tom, Z as in Zebra, L-E-R. I am 51 years old. I attended parochial school from kindergarten through ninth grade. And I attended New York City Public High School, Springfield Gardens High School, from grades 9 through 12. I then went on to get an undergraduate degree from Union College in Schenectady, New York. And from there, I went on to law school at Georgetown University Law Center, where I got my Juris Doctor in 1996.
And what neighborhood did you grow up in?
In my early years, I grew up in Crown Heights, Brooklyn, and the Flatbush section of Brooklyn. My parents moved to Rosedale, Queens, when I was in school, elementary school, but I continued to go to school in Brooklyn. So Brooklyn has always been my neighborhood of development. I currently live in Brooklyn right now. My parents are from the island of Barbados in the Caribbean, sometimes incorrectly referred to as the West Indies. My father, who recently passed away, was a Rastafarian, and my mother was a member of the Anglican Church, the Church of England, which was the official church of Barbados, and may still be. I am African American. I'm a Virgo.
Wonderful. So, my first question for you is, if I were to live an average week in your community, what would I experience?
Well, currently I reside in Clinton Hill, Brooklyn. And Clinton Hill and Fort Greene are contiguous sections of Brooklyn. What you would experience would be a middle class, predominantly African-American community in Brooklyn. Lots of beautiful brownstones, lots of beautiful apartment buildings, lots of dogs, cafes, strollers. these sections of Brooklyn, Fort Greene and Clinton Hill, have changed over years. So in 2022, where we are now, is very different than how the neighborhood looked and felt in the 70s, 80s, and even parts of the 90s. The love and sense of community has always been there. However, like many parts of New York City, there have been challenges. So if you were to live there now in an average week in my community, you'd see lots of friendly neighbors. You would see, again, lots of dogs. I have a dog myself, so a big dog community. You'd see lots of schools, and because Brooklyn is the borough of churches, you would see lots and lots of churches.
That sounds really interesting. Living in Brooklyn and like all those churches, it sounds like a nice calming environment to be surrounded by people that are like you and also by a bunch of cute and fluffy dogs.
Yeah, and it is a real interesting mix. As I mentioned, it had been predominantly African-American. Now, there are a lot of, in addition to people of color, there are a lot of Caucasian individuals who live in the neighborhood. And so there is a quiet underlying, I don't know if tension is the right word, but I'll use that word, tension that exists among those who have been in the community for a long time, rehabilitated the community, and now have to sort of contend, I would say, with folks who moved into the community who may not appreciate and respect the rich cultural heritage that exists there. In addition to that, with respect to African Americans and people of color in general. We have everything from housing projects, such as Lafayette Gardens, the Fort Greene projects, that are actually three different projects, but go by one name, Fort Greene projects. And as I mentioned, homeowners and brownstones and co-ops. We also have the Attorney General for the state of New York, Tisha James, lives across the street from me. You have local mom and pop businesses, but you also have a Starbucks that's moved there. And so it is truly a tapestry of New York City in terms of its diversity and as well in terms of its complexity.
Sounds really cool. And like the neighborhood has a rich history to it.
Yes.
And considering that, like, diversity and history and how much you know about the neighborhood that you grew up in, I would also like to know how you became involved at MBK.
A combination of things. One, it has been a calling. A higher power has instilled in me, planted in me a desire to assist my community, and that can look in many different ways. Also, in addition to the calling, my vocation, I've always been compelled to help young people in particular. So even in law school, when we started college, I was part of the Big Brother, Big Sister program. I had a little brother with whom I worked. When I was in law school, I taught a course on constitutional law to high school students in Washington, D.C. I also have served as a Sunday school teacher in my local church, and I was drawn to assist students and my occupation working for the New York City Department of Education. While working at the New York City Department of Education, I was given the opportunity to assist with the MBK movement, because it is indeed a movement consisting of several programs, and I jumped at the opportunity because it gave me direct support and direct access to young people, which again is my calling and vocation. And so when the first deputy chancellor at the time, Cheryl Watson Harris, offered me the opportunity to assist with supporting young people, young men in particular, and male-identified individuals as part of the MBK movement, I seized the opportunity. And so that's how I began working with MBK.
That sounds really great, though. You found this opportunity through connections and history that you have, like, working with men of color in the past as well.
Yes.
And what did you expect to get when you joined MBK, like, working for it?
I don't know what I expected to get, but I can tell you what I expected to give. I expected to give my time and my talents and resources such as they are to support boys and young men of color. I expected to make a difference in their lives, make an impact, to help them navigate and negotiate the challenges that they face every single day, and also to help them understand that success looks just like them. What I've often said, and what you may have heard me say before, is that sometimes the world can tell our boys and girls of color that success does not look like them, success does not talk like them, success does not dress like them, success does not live like them. And what I hoped to give when I became part of the MBK, I hoped to give the young men and boys an understanding that success does indeed look like them. Success does indeed speak like them. Success does indeed dress like them. Success is, in fact, them. I wanted to push against the prevailing narratives, the prevailing messages that are bombarded with on a daily basis that says, if you want to be successful, you have to abandon everything you are. And so I wanted to help them by not just speaking with them, but spending time with them, engaging with them. And by the way, I moved through spaces modeling for them how success can look. It often says it's hard to be what you do not see, because you don't know that there are other opportunities, there are other avenues, because one was not exposed to them. So I hope to give exposure to opportunities and possibilities without any guarantee that the boys and young men will seize those opportunities, or the boys and young men will take those other available options. But nonetheless, I wanted to present them so they can say, I have been exposed. I do see there's an alternative. The business landscape now is so much different than it was when I was coming up, because a lot of the jobs that exist now, it exists when I was coming up. So I couldn't have imagined or dreamed or explored certain job opportunities because I wasn't aware of them. But once made aware of things, you can decide for yourself if you want to investigate further. You can decide for yourself if you want to explore them. But all that comes from exposure. So I hope to give exposure and engagement to boys and young men of color. Sorry for the long-winded answer, but it means a lot.
No, I appreciate that. And you could answer the questions however you would like to. And I actually appreciate that you're so passionate about MBK and working for MBK.
Thank you.
Especially because, like, MBK has had, like, such a great impact on everyone that works for it, because we're all fighting for things that are constantly happening in the world at the moment, and that all affect us, considering, you know, we're all men of color, and it's like, you guys are men of color, and you guys are providing for us young men of color, and that's, like, just goes to show just how important MBK is.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's like, the missions, they correlate with our morals and with our environment and with everything that, like, involves, like, with us on a day-to-day life. Now, I would like to know more about, like, the impact that MBK has on your community.
I would like to think that MBK, as much as I talked about wanting to give something to the boys and young men, I think the boys and young men give something to the adults as well. So I'll speak first about my job community, the environment in which I work. I work at the Teed Courthouse, located at 52 Chamber Street in Lower Manhattan, New York, New York. And when the boys and young men come into that office space, I believe my adult colleagues are impacted by my work community, because they see these boys and young men who are there after school, sometimes on the weekend, making efforts to better themselves, making efforts to expose themselves, making efforts to learn. There are times where our boys and men of color, how they present themselves in their attire, how they present themselves in their presentation, how they present themselves in their camaraderie with one another, have an impact and influences the perspective and view that my adult community has regarding them at work. In addition, in my personal community, I believe that the exposure to boys and young men of color who are trying and seeking to do the right thing impacts the adults. I also think that the MBK community impacts the younger, the much younger folks. So I work exclusively with the MBK fellows, which are rising high school seniors. But I'm also aware of the impact the MBK fellows have on younger folks who see them. I talked about how it's hard to be what you don't see. But if a younger elementary or middle school student sees a member of the MBK community moving a certain way, leading in a certain way, that can inspire that elementary or middle school student to want to be like the MBK fellow or MBK brother that they were exposed to. So I think that addition, opportunities are given for the MBK fellows with whom I engage to share their feelings and thoughts. One thing that we are big on, I am big on, is hearing their authentic voices. Asking, how do you want this to be? How can your voice be a part of whatever gathering or convening we have? And by having the MBK fellows express to me their perspectives, their desires, their likes, their dislikes, their tastes, it helps me, it educates me, it informs me about what is helpful. One thing I think about a lot is that when you go out to eat, rarely, if ever, does the proprietor just put a plate in front of you and say, eat this. They give you a menu where you can make a selection, and then you can tell the proprietor what it is you have appetite for. We don't do that with young people. We, for all intents and purposes, have them come into our dining establishment and we put down a plate of food without any question about their dietary considerations, their allergies, their preferences, or their appetite. We say, eat this food. And when students push back and say, I'm not in the mood for that, or I can't have that, or I'm allergic to that, or I'm not hungry, we get upset. And so what I'm trying to say is that by having the opportunity to hear from young people, it impacts me as an adult. It teaches me, and it should inform the way I present things to young people. Based upon their appetite, based upon their allergies, based upon what they consider to be important, what they consider to be pressing, what they consider to be critical. And so those are all ways MBK impacts my community.
That is so true, because MBK is such a community-based organization where it's based off of all of the schools that MBK works with, and it's also based off of, like, the job that everyone has in MBK, and I feel like everyone can have such a big impact with MBK, especially because, like, it's based off of teamwork, it's based off of collaboration, it's based off of working with each other and seeing each other and what we do. We all have different roles, but it all aligns under the same thing, under the same umbrella.
Yes.
And I think that's great. And considering, you know, how MBK is working with young men of color, and, you know, there's young men of color also working for MBK, I would like to know how MBK has altered how you look at your identity and culture, and if so, how?
It has altered how I look at my identity in the sense that I see myself in so many of the young boys and men with whom we engage through MBK. And I say, oh, that's how I was. It's like a composite of the young men are in me. Like, so there are times I'm quiet, and I look at a young man who's quiet. There are times I may be shy, or insecure, or uncertain, or bold, or fearless, or loquacious, in that I want to talk a lot. And I have been around boys and young men who are all those things. And it informs the way I look at myself, and how I got to be who I am, and how I could have been very different if I didn't have caring adults around me. Right, so I look at myself and go, I didn't get, to the extent I have any success, I didn't achieve it on my own. It was based on community that I wasn't aware of or even appreciated as a young man. But being around MBK, I go, someone supported me the way I see these adults supporting the MBK brothers. Now I see that. I also try to be a bit more kind with myself and go, things that I may have looked back and say, oh, that was dumb, that was stupid. It may have been dumb. It may have been stupid, but I understand my lack of exposure to things is what didn't allow me to understand either the dangers I was in, didn't help me understand and appreciate some of the beauty I was in. All that by working with young people, I go, oh, I see myself now. I would have done the same thing at that age because I was unaware. Or I would have done the same thing at that age because I had support the way these young men have support. So by working with the young people in MBK, I see myself, and it helps me understand a bit more about how I am and how I should be. It also helps me in terms of understanding I have a responsibility. So in terms of identity, I feel, whether I want to or not, I have a responsibility to serve as a positive role model. So my identity, in terms of, oh, I'm just Kevin moving through the world on my own and for myself, has now been altered to, Kevin, you have responsibility. People may watch the way you move. People may be influenced by the things you say. So it helps me carry myself differently and see my identity as not just being something that is for myself. It's for myself and others. I have responsibility to family. I have responsibility to community. I have responsibility to culture. And a lot of that has been crystallized by working with MBK. So that's how it's impacted my identity.
I agree. I feel like MBK can positively impact all of our identities and cultures because it can help us feel more in touch with them and help us interact with them more, especially, like, you know, with Black American and Hispanic American, like, cultures different than what you would see from, like, the islands or our native countries. It's just different here in the United States, and I feel like we're actually able to enjoy and interact with that, especially, like, while we're young. I think it's very important to be in touch with our identities and know how to approach it more than just knowing that you're, you know, a person of color or a man of color. It's so important to be able to know how to, you know, what to do with that, and also just interacting with people that are like you. So touching.
Yes. I was going to say, also, the importance of coming together, right? One thing working with MBK, we take time to convene, to come together. We always say, often say, iron sharpens iron. But how can iron sharpen iron if the iron is never in the same room? The iron is never in the same space. So the importance of coming together through ritual, through routine, also is important to me. And being an MBK shows me, as a grown man, the importance of coming together with other like-minded, or even not even like-minded, with other men to learn, to continue to be sharpened. Because that iron sharpening is a lifelong endeavor. So even as a grown man, there's importance of coming together. Talking about, be it politics, be it history, be it economics, society, there's a richness. In the Christian tradition, there's a saying, oh, how good it is when good men come together, right? And I use the word men, but I think how good it is when good people come together. There's a richness there. There is a value there, and MBK reminds me of the importance of coming together in community deliberately and intentionally, because that's positive. So MBK has really impacted me in that way as well, how important it is to come together in community.
Mm-hmm. So do you feel like there has been any coworkers that has, like, helped you a lot in the program, like, in you working in the program, and also that you've been able to, you know, lean on for support?
Colleagues, yes, that have been helpful, by all means. This work is not done alone. You can't do this work alone. That talk about it takes a village doesn't just apply to it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a village to raise and sustain a person. And so the work I do with MBK is done in conjunction with my adult colleagues. Ms. Andrea Ferguson, for example, who you know is my partner in this. We're joined at the hip and supporting the MBK Fellows Program. I have other colleagues, Dr. Mahali Bathia, George Patterson, the Chancellor, David Banks. A lot of things can't happen without the collaboration and coordination of the adults. So working with adults has been helpful. We can lean on each other. As I mentioned a moment ago, when my father passed away in March of this year, I was able to go and tend to family affairs because I had the confidence that my adult colleagues would be able to shoulder some of the work I had to do. I could lean on them. Unfortunately, one of my other colleagues suffered death in her family, and I was able to me along with other colleagues were able to help sustain and support so she could go and tend to her family and tend to herself as well. Because it doesn't need to take a village. Also, there are times where you're with Zen, you want to pull your hair out. Well, I don't have any hair, but if you want to pull your hair out, you have colleagues who are sounding board. You have colleagues with whom you can go for comfort, for counsel, for advice, for refuge. So the same way we talk about the importance of having a community for young people and taking a village to raise a child, it takes a village to sustain a healthy adult in mind, body, and spirit.
I completely agree.